Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Thursday morning. I lost track there. I've done three interviews today, so I'm out of it.
It doesn't matter what day it is. It really doesn't matter.
Do I need to start the show off with the sad music? Is it going to be like that?
Might as well. Who cares?
All around me are familiar places. Wherever you are in our great state, thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate all you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. Want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville, or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. It would be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Vito.
It would be a little weird.
No, I did Vito the other day. I did it.
I always enjoy it.
I gotta switch that up. We can't have that.
I always enjoy a good Vito reference.
Be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Wise Gap.
That'd be really weird.
Yeah, there we go. Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. It's a joke.
What? It's a joke.
Sal, don't tell anybody. Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. You know what really goes good with beef? Johnny Cakes.
Careful. Let's not go too far down that road. Beef and Johnny Cakes.
I looked up a few minutes ago. I thought it was like 2 o'clock. It's only 12:30.
Vito was beefy, that's for sure.
He was definitely beefy. Whatever you're cooking out this weekend, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. And if you, I had some steaks last night that were fantastic. Really, really good. Kids were happy. They were happy to eat steak. I'm Mr. Momming it this week, right? Jennifer is out of town until tomorrow.
Oh.
It's just me. I'm running the show. It's great.
How about that?
Yeah, it's been fun. So, easy weeknight meal was a steak for the kids. They loved it. You can do it too. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends, the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you're looking for. I know you're looking for new gear. You need it. You need to get the stuff that has the interlocking MSU, the state script, the M over S. Out with the banner and in with the new. Get it at College Corner. Two locations to serve you in the Jackson area. Ridgeland by Fleet Feet. Flowood by the Half Shell. Or you can shop online. collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler is Starkville's flagship restaurant for lunch, dinner, or Sunday brunch. Best meal in town is always at Restaurant Tyler. If you want to have a great meal, you know, like I said, we're only about a month away from Mother's Day, 2 months from Father's Day. Take mom or dad out to a fantastic meal at Restaurant Tyler. For dinner, they have the best steaks in town. They have fantastic pasta and chicken dishes, vegetarian options, great appetizers, great desserts. It is a fantastic meal. The special occasion is the meal. You can just be like, oh, it's our anniversary. Nope. We're celebrating that we're eating at Restaurant Tyler. That's how I would look at it. So if you want to have the best dinner in the city of Starkville, it's easy to find. It's at Restaurant Tyler. Priority One Bank, 16 locations to serve you throughout central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide and show you not only how they're going to help you invest and manage your money, but how they're going to help you prepare for the future. Now more than ever, when you have questions about your money, you need answers. You need them on your schedule, not somebody else's. You need to talk to a banker that knows you and your money. You're going to get that level of service at Priority One Bank. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. Well. Once again.
Just another swift kick to the groin of every Mississippi State
it just never
person
ends.
In the world.
It is really like, I hate to say things like this because, you know, the soccer team winning the SEC championship was cool, right? And men's and women's basketball going to the NCAA tournament, it's cool. But you and I both know that it has been a tough few years for Mississippi State. And it's just they cannot stack good days on top of each other. And when they do get bad news, it's almost always cataclysmic. It's never just a little thing, you know. Yeah, you know, Michael Nwoko went in the portal. Okay, I can live with that. And, you know, Riley Kugel's in the portal. Well, yeah, that's fine. That's fine. Nope, Keyshawn Murphy's in the portal for Mississippi State. One of your, you know, and let us not forget that Josh Hubbard technically is in the NBA draft at this moment. Yeah. I believe he'll come back, but right now you have literally nothing on this returning for you in this men's basketball program. You got Jabari McGee. That's what you got. That's your team right now.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing about it is like with the good stuff that you do have happen, it's such a process to get it to happen.
Yeah.
It's like you should be you're on your third straight NCAA tournament. You're building around this team for next season. You should be pushing out the fact that you have two legit starters there coming back that are going to take you to the next level with Josh Hubbard and Keyshawn Murphy. You're pumped about it. I think we both talked to sources within 2 minutes of seeing this news.
Yes.
That assured us, hey, it's not over with Murphy. No, nothing is final with him yet. He may eventually transfer, but the staff still feels like there's a chance he comes back. There's still a very good chance that he could return. And then you feel okay about Josh Hubbard, but there's no guarantee. That's the problem. Is you might eventually get those guys back, but it's going to be a process to get them back in the fold and get them on this team and build around them. And that's where Mississippi State Athletics is right now. There's very few days that we look up and it's like one good thing after another. It's like a ton of bad things, and then you get one little good nugget that you get, and then it's back to bad things. That's kind of where this athletic department is right now. And I don't know if I can blame anyone. I don't know.
That's the worst part, is there's no one to just point your finger at and say, this is your fault.
You can't say this is the problem.
Yeah.
And a lot of people will say, no, there is a problem. It's Mark Keenum or whatever, but I'm just not entertaining that. Mississippi State
Mark
had
Keenum
success.
Isn't the reason that Keyshawn Murphy went in the portal today.
No, we're not blaming Mark Keenum for every single thing.
No, that's just silliness.
People act like Mark Keenum is sitting inside of Lee Hall and just vetoing. We go back to veto. He's just vetoing every single good thing
get
that
away.
Comes across his desk.
Yeah,
it's just not happening. He puts people in charge to handle the athletic department. This is not all Mark Keenum's fault, but that's the problem. Is like it's hard to blame one person. It's hard. This isn't Zach Selman's fault. This isn't Chris Jan's fault. It's just kind of where things are right now. I don't know who is.
You hit on something. Right. You hit on something there that's a good point. That when good things do happen for State, it's never surprise good news, right? It's never we just wake up in the morning and you're like, oh, wait, this guy committed to State? That's awesome. I wasn't even expecting that. It's always like, hey, this guy might commit to State. And then it's a 2 weeks of he's going to visit here and then he's going to visit here. And, oh, now so-and-so's making a push and you got to survive this visit. And it's never just easy for Mississippi State. And this is another one. Let's just talk about this from a basketball perspective. You know, Keyshawn Murphy and Josh Hubbard were going to be the cornerstones of this team next year. That was going to be your inside-outside guys, Hubbard and Murphy. And now I get that they're saying there's a chance. I don't like hearing that there's a chance that he's back. I like hearing, like, he's probably – I like, you know, with Hubbard, it's been like, yeah, he'll be back. He'll be back. I'm not worried about it. He'll be back.
Well, and in fairness, there are people that have told me they expect him back, but I'm not
with Murphy.
Yeah, I'm not leaning into that yet.
Well, I mean, why would you?
His price has gone up tremendously. His value's gone up tremendously from where it was last year. So I
As
can't
it should.
Just it is good, but I can't just say, well, he did this last year, so he'll do it again this year and come back. When he's going to be a more marketable player in the transfer portal this year than he was last year.
Yes, no question about that. He has done what most of us like to do at our jobs. He has increased his value through his hard work. and made himself a more valuable commodity, and so he would like to reap the benefits of that. We would like to see him reap the benefits of that here at Mississippi State. And that's the other thing to consider. It's not that Mississippi State can't increase what they were giving him. They certainly can. They probably will. But he's going to, you know, put that out there because who knows? What if, you know, Kentucky gives them some ridiculous offer? I mean, they're yep. bringing in so much talent right now. What if Alabama wants to get him closer to the home and makes a ridiculous offer? It's going to be tough to fight off.
I'll just say this. Let me say this real quick on Merv.
Yeah.
He is a very impressionable guy.
Yeah.
And he has had – there's so many people that has gotten in his ear the last 2 years that think that they know better and they have the answers for him. Some of them are people back home. Some of them are people that just left this roster that have no business telling him what's best for him that went to other places. But that's kind of what you're dealing with here is they've told him basically, you know, you don't just take what Mississippi State gives you. Why don't you get out in the portal and see what somebody else is willing to give you and then make your decision there. And I mean, I get it, but those people don't really have his best interest at heart. They're just telling him to go get money.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's what you're dealing with here is, you know, Mississippi State has done their due diligence with him, and they have a they're going to offer him a good NIL package, and they have you know, they have a plan for him or whatever. But you're dealing with somebody that has listened to a lot of people that basically just have dollar signs in their mind, and they think that he can make more money than what he's going to make here. And we'll see what that ends up being, but That's what you've had to deal with now the last 2 years with him is people just constantly in his ear, badgering him, telling him that he can do better than Mississippi State, things of that nature. Mm-hmm. And you're just going to have to go through this process again. And a lot of people have said, you know, Chris Jan shouldn't bother with Keyshawn Murphy, but he's too good of a player. He's
hard too good disagree. Of a player. Yeah, you can't let a player of this talent just walk away. Unless you've got something lined up in the portal that nobody is expecting you to have.
So, yeah, and I would much rather have a guy that's been in the system now yes. for 4 years.
Yes.
They need retention. They need players that have been here that have developed. Pay Keyshawn Murphy what he's worth and maybe even more to get him to come back next year because it's a guy that, quite frankly, could be a double-double player night in and night out. And you're not going to find players like that in the portal with regularity.
Now, also going on at the Humphrey Coliseum, this is happening to the women's side. That program at this point, I think you said, down to four returning players. The entire starting lineup has been kind of decimated at this point. What's the story there? Because I think you've told me with Medina Okot, it's the same thing. People have told her, hey, you can make money going elsewhere. And the problem there is you feel like that there's no chance for a return in that one, correct?
I don't really have a lot of confidence that that's going to happen. Same thing with DeBrisha Poe. I think it was kind of just an agent thing, came in last minute and said, hey, you can make a lot of money, and she jumps in the portal. And like I said the other day, it's really disheartening for Mississippi State, who found this player overseas, got her eligible to move to America, worked overtime to get her a visa, something that she could not get the previous three or four times that she did it. And then they get her eligible to play college basketball and give her an opportunity to showcase that in the SEC. And in a matter of hours, she's convinced to go to the portal. And that's not really on her. She doesn't know how all this works. It's on the scummy agents out there who most of them have never done anything like this. They just see an opportunity to make money for themselves. And that's kind of what you're dealing with. These people, a lot of them do not have, again, like we talked about with Murph, they don't have these players' best interests in mind. They have what's the best interest for themselves. How can they make money exploiting these kids? And Medina Okot has no idea what's going on with NIL or any of that. And someone stepped in and said that I can make some money off of this player. They saw dollar signs with her, and that's what you're dealing with now. And so I imagine she will be wanted by just about everybody in the country. It's a very tough deal for Sam Purcell, who was really, really wanting to keep this roster mostly together. You were going to have to replace Jerkella Jordan and Anaya Russell. But the hope was you could keep everybody else together. They had NIL deals in place. They felt really good about the roster retention and the players that were going to be able to keep. They had the money in place for that. And now you're looking at, Medina Okot gone, DeBrusha Pogue gone, Denham DeShields is entering the portal. That's three starters right there that have now gone to the portal, along with Jerkella Jordan, who's graduated. And then Anaya Russell and Chandler Prater were both starters. You've lost Anaya Russell. So you're essentially returning one starter from this past season. And she was a starter late in the year. She wasn't a starter the whole season. So for the second consecutive season, you're down to only four players from the current roster. And for the second consecutive season, it's essentially just three players that were actually contributors. Because the other players, Rocia Jimenez, who has not played, I don't think, a second. So total rebuild again. I mean, that's you don't have a Jerkella Jordan on this roster. So you have to go out there and find an impact player like Jerkella Jordan, and then probably two or three more impact players. And
that's what I was going to say, is like, yeah, you only returned four last year, but Jordan was one of them. So you knew you had at least one star to build around. You don't have that this time around.
You had Jordan, and then DeBrusha Pogue was a good piece because leadership.
Yeah.
And their 3-point shooting. So you've lost a ton of leadership there. And I don't know what's going to happen with the rest of these players. I don't know if it's over or not, but you're essentially having to completely rebuild this roster. And this is the problem with the transfer portal, is you're having teams that are having to turn over a roster each and every year. Mm-hmm. It's happened at Mississippi State for the men. It's happened for the women. It's so difficult to consistently put a really good product on the floor when you're constantly turning over a roster, because you don't have – you have that period where these guys and girls, they have to mesh. They have to become a team. They have to have the chemistry. Look at the teams that look at Auburn this year. That, you know, Florida is a little different, but they had some players coming back. Auburn made the run that they did because they had Dylan Cardwell and Janai Broom and Chad Baker Mazzara. Those players have played together for 2, 3, 4 years. And you just don't see that as much anymore. But the teams that are usually making it far in the NCAA tournament right now are the ones that have a nucleus of players that have been there, been in the system, and been retained. And that's been very difficult for Mississippi State the last 2 years.
You know what's funny is we're going to do a spring preview in just a minute. I feel like every time we do a spring preview for another school, the first segment on the show is this terrible thing happened to Mississippi State. So it's like, we can't just like be like, all right, we're going to move. Oh, by the way, it's always like, let's completely change the topic here. So let's just go ahead and get into that. Let's move into our spring preview. That's brought to you by our friends over at Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District and the Older Brother, two of the best restaurants in the city of Starkville. If you're going to be heading to Starkville anytime soon, a trip to the Cotton District is a must. Some fantastic food. We love a trip to Two Brothers. We love a trip to the Older Brother. You will love those things too. For lunch, for dinner, either way, head over to Two Brothers Smoked Meats and the Older Brother. Great products, great. I can't wait to hear what you do with this. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems, and they've been doing it for 50 years. If you need technology for your business, give Advantage Business Systems a call. If you need a new copier, a new printer, new computers, they've got great name brands, great prices, but more importantly, they deliver service after the sale. These are machines. They do something is going to go wrong with them. There's no getting around that. When it does, who do you want to talk to? A 601 number where you talk to the people who made you the sale, or a 1-800 number where you're going to talk to somebody you've never talked to before? And they're going to set up an appointment with somebody else you've never talked to before. I think the choice is simple. It's Advantage Business System. 601-362-9192, or you can visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Next time you're in Starkville, a trip to Maroon & Co., that's something you need to make. You need to get some new gear. Nobody has a bigger or better selection in the entire city of Starkville than does Maroon & Co. Everything maroon and white under one roof. Clothes, car, home, tailgate, whatever you need to grab, it's right there at Maroon & Co. Use our promo code THUNDER15 to save 15% off regular price. Some exclusions do apply. Next time you're here in Starkville, next time you're going to go to a Mississippi State game, make sure the first thing you do is make a trip to Maroon & Co. All right, Missouri is the team we're previewing today, a team Mississippi State is going to play later this season, a team that has found its way these last couple of years to a couple of great seasons, have won 21 games total in the last 2 years, and have just been a really good football program. But as you're about to know, as you're about to learn, this year, a lot of turnover, a lot of new faces for them, including some familiar faces to Mississippi State fans. I talked earlier today to Callum McAndrew. He covers the Tigers for the Columbia Tribune. Let's go right now to my conversation. We're back on the spring preview series this week. We are at the Missouri Tigers, a team that is on the Mississippi State schedule a little later this year. Callum McAndrew joins us now. He covers the Tigers for the Columbia Tribune. Callum, we'll start with kind of a big picture question. This is a program that's won 19 games in the last 2 years. After, you know, a few years before that, they were pretty much a consistent six-win team. Do we feel like this program has gotten to the point where they're reliable, that they're just going to be a 9-10-win kind of team year in, year out? Or are they still kind of cyclical and you think this could be a year where they take a step back?
Well, I think this will be a little bit of a prove-it year for Eli Drinkwitz and co. I mean, you look at who the consistency that they had over the last couple of years has been really, really important to them. I mean, they had some really major recruits that spent multiple years in the program. You go to guys like Ennis Rakestraw, who's in the NFL, Darius Robinson, who was a first-rounder, and then you go a three-year starting quarterback in Brady Cook and a star, elite first-round wide receiver, Luther Burden. I mean, that translated to, like you say, 19 regular season wins in 2 years, a couple of bowl wins, including one over Ohio State. It's only the third time in program history that they've gone back-to-back years with 10 wins. This is much more of a prove-it year because they are losing a lot of that core. There is a lot of new faces, a lot of new pieces. A lot of people will tell you that you can rebuild in the transfer portal exceptionally quickly, but there are some questions about this roster. They've lost their full wide receiving core. They've lost their quarterback. They're turning the reins over at running back after a lot of successful years being able to run the outside zone. There's a lot of new faces on the defense. So, you know, if they do manage to do that again, it will be the first time in Missouri history that they've won 10 games in three straight years. So this is somewhat of a prove-it year for Drinkwitz and co, I would say.
And you mentioned that quarterback position. Missouri is one of the few schools in the conference right now where if you said, hey, who's their starting quarterback going to be? I don't really have a locked-in answer for you. What is that battle going to look like this spring?
Yeah, you know, they are keeping it as an open competition. Eli Drinkwitz spoke to the media yesterday, and they've narrowed it down to a two-horse race. It's going to be Penn State transfer Bo Pabriola, who was obviously kind of made waves entering the transfer portal while Penn State was still competing for a national championship, was still going through the playoffs. And a returner in Sam Horn, who spent the first couple seasons of his career behind Brady Cook as the main backup, and then spent last season, he's a two-sport athlete, he's a Friday night pitcher. He got Tommy John surgery, so he spent the whole of last year out. So he was really highly billed out of high school, and they've narrowed it down to those two players. I think if you were going to make a guess, if you were really putting your fingers to the fire, I would take Bo Pabriola. At the moment, that is a significant portal addition, and in this era, that is not cheap, that spot in the transfer portal. I don't think you go after a guy that you don't have every intention of becoming a starter on your roster. They are going to take this competition into the fall. It will be one of those two players, as Drinkwitz has said. I would give Pabula the upper hand in that competition, simply because of the cost and why you go to the portal to get quarterbacks in this stage of the sport.
Kind of a Mississippi flavor with the skill position guys at Missouri. Ahmed Hardy, a Mississippi native, coming over from ULM. Missouri has had some great success in the transfer portal at the running back position these past couple of years. And then the guy that they're going to, you know, maybe try to get to fill the shoes of Luther Burden is Kevin Coleman, who had a fantastic year for Mississippi State last year. Mississippi State did not want to lose him to the transfer portal, but he ends up getting closer to home at Missouri. What are those two guys going to be for the Tigers this year?
I think you've hit the nail on the head there. Those are the two players that, if you're a Missouri fan, you should be really, really excited and encouraged about all the offensive turnover. You should be encouraged about those two guys coming in. I mean, Ahmad Hardy, for those who don't know, I think he only trailed Ashton Jeanty in yards after contact last season. Really, really slippery. Seems to know the outside zone really, really well that Missouri likes to run. A really promising running back. And they have had some, I mean, you look at Cody Schrader, you look at Tyler Beatty, Larry Roundtree, and then last season with Nate Noel, they've had some good running back production. Under Eli Drinkwitz's system. Ahmad Hardy seems to really fit that bill. Quite a character as well. I think he's brought a horse up to Columbia, and some of the players have been having some fun with that. Kevin Coleman is exactly like you said. He's going to fill Luther Burden's shoes all the way down to the number he's going to wear. Couple of St. Louis guys originally. Gives them some experience, some really much needed experience in the wide receiver room, because they're losing Luther Burden. They're losing Theo Weese, who was a really dynamic X receiver for them. They're losing the experience of a star in Mookie Cooper. They needed someone who has been there, done that in the SEC, and Kevin Coleman obviously did that for Mississippi State last year. He's going to be their slot receiver. He's going to be the guy that they go to. They've got some other really good players at the position, but he's going to be, if they're going to have a passing game, it's going to run through Kevin Coleman.
Missouri only gave up 30 points in a game three times last year. And yep. No surprise, it was in the three losses that they had. What is this defense trying to figure out this spring?
So last year was the first year under a new defensive coordinator after Blake Baker went to LSU. So I think it's kind of more of the same, just figuring out the slight systematic. They've had a lot of carryover between Blake Baker and Corey Batoon at defensive coordinator. The scheme is essentially the same. The things that they're trying to do are very, very similar. Same base package, for instance. I think now they just need more skill position production. They seem really encouraged by what they have at defensive end. There seems to be six or seven guys that could legitimately take significant reps there for them, which I think is incredibly encouraging and what you want in a college football roster. They need to figure out some stuff in the defensive backfield. That was where they really hemorrhaged points at times last season. They gave up chunk plays off of busted plays for long touchdowns in pretty much all of those losses, and some of their wins as well, where it got a little bit too close for call, close for comfort. So I think that's really where the improvement needs to be. They need to get some more consistency out of their defensive backs. I think they like some of the experience they've managed to bring in out of the portal. A guy like Jalen Catalon, who started his career at Arkansas, was a third-team All-American at UNLV last season. So they seem to have the individual skill players to be able to take a jump from where they were last season. I think now it's more get that individual production that will lead you there.
We've mentioned a few names, but are there any other new faces in this spring period for Missouri that you've got an eye on? Maybe some freshmen that you want to mention?
I'll go to – there's two or three some freshmen that I think could make an instant impact. Spring football is a weird time as well, because you really don't get the availability or the viewing periods that you would like anymore. It's obviously changed, so you don't get to see them. You get to see them stretch. I can tell you who's a good stretcher.
Same.
From what we're hearing around the program, they really like who they have in a running back called Marquise Davis. That I think he could pair well with Ahmad Hardy and with Jamal Roberts. They're kind of their third downhill back. I think we could see him take some early reps. Wide receiver, where they do look a little bit more thin than last season, kid out of Florida, Donovan Ologbodi. He's got the frame, he's got the wingspan, he's got the length, and he's got the speed to be an instant impact guy. So I think we could hear that name at some point. And then at defensive end, where they have got, I mean, they've just got players on players on players there, but they got a late cycle pickup in a guy called Javian Hilson out of Florida, top 50 recruit. Really does seem like he has the tools to make an instant impact. So those are the three freshman that I think we could hear their name. Missouri hasn't shied away from playing freshmen under Drinkwitz, so I think we could hear their names in the fall.
Is this a team, you know, obviously we're a long way out, but last year they were a playoff team, but not really, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Right? The record was there, but they didn't have the right number, the right wins to get into the real conversation. What is this team this year? Can they be in that conversation a little bit more this season?
They absolutely can, but it's going to be kind of the same old story for Missouri. It's going to be whether they can get one of those signature wins. It was the thing that they really failed to do with Brady Cook. When they went 10-2 in Brady Cook's second year as starter, they lost to Georgia and LSU in games that they were competitive into the fourth quarter. They haven't last year. They got blown out by Alabama and Texas A&M on the road and then lost a really close one at South Carolina that could have kept them in that playoff conversation.
I remember that game. They had that game won, yeah.
So these games against the elite teams from those seasons, they have failed to get across the line in those games in these years where they could have had something pretty special going on for who Missouri has been in this conference. The next step is picking up that signature win, getting across the line against one of the big dogs that you need to beat to be in that, because it's not, they're not going to give it to you at 9-3. You know, Missouri's schedule is favorable this year, but if you lose to Alabama and Texas A&M at home, they're not going to give you a playoff spot. You know, you need one of those wins to go, you need one of those games to go in your favor to have the resume for it. So I think that's where I could see Missouri going through the quote unquote the weaker teams on a schedule, and there aren't really that many, but it is a favorable schedule. But unless you can knock off Obama, unless you can knock off an A&M, unless you can take down South Carolina, who looks like they're going to be really good next season, they're not going to gift you that playoff spot just because you're in the SEC.
And the good news for the Tigers, all three of those games are at home. So that's a big plus for Missouri. All right, we'll wrap it up with the question we're asking everybody at the end of these interviews. You know, as we're sitting here today, it's April the 9th. If I come back to you and talk to you after the Arkansas game, final game of the regular season, what are we saying about this Missouri team?
Ooh, what are we saying about this Missouri team? That's a good question. Were I trying to find the middle ground here where, you could sell me on anything between 7-5 and 10-2 for this team. You could make the case and I would believe you at pretty much any of those numbers, I think, at the moment. I think if we are at the lower end of that spectrum, we're talking about quarterback play that regressed. I think if we're looking at a scheme that Brady Cook really developed well into that hasn't translated to a successor, if we're at the other end of that spectrum, I think if we're at 10-2, if we're at an 11-1, I think we're looking at a defense that is among the college football elite. I think they've brought in a lot of experience. They've brought in a lot of talent there. I think we're looking at a defense that has really carried them and an offense that's gelled despite a lot of turnover.
Going to be an interesting team that Mississippi State will see in the later portion of the season up there in Missouri. Only the second time ever Mississippi State will make the trip to Columbia. Caleb McAndrew, Columbia Tribune, appreciate your time, man. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Brian.
All right, thanks to Callum. Appreciate him joining the show. First time we've had him on the podcast. We'll definitely have him back on. Great information there. Last year, that game with Missouri, I know it was the second to last game of the season, but State had opportunities in that game. They had chances to win that game. That was a pretty good Missouri team, but honestly, you can make a case that offensively, that was one of State's better games. Defensively, they made a couple. I remember early in the game, they made a couple of big stops, and you thought maybe this is going to be the day, and then it just got away from them there in the later stages. But I feel like Missouri is an interesting team. I feel like they're a team that, if things go, what Callum said at the end, if things go right for them, they'll be right there in the playoff discussion. But if things go wrong, they could take a step back this year and be a 6-7 win program.
What's their quarterback situation?
The new guy, obviously, they brought in the transfer from Penn State, and that's who he thinks is going to get it. Bo Prabula, who was Allar's backup the past couple years, a little bit more of a dual threat guy. But, I mean, Brady Cook was so good for them the past couple of years. And you lose Burden and Theo Weiss. You know, you got a new running back there. It's the kid from ULM who's from Mississippi, Ahmad Hardy. I mean, they just got a lot of new faces there on that offensive side of the ball. Defensively, they've got some experience there, but we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that they were kind of slipping a little bit last year. They were supposed to take that step forward, and I mean, they were still solid, but I just was never really like blown away by them.
The games they needed to win to be a playoff team, they weren't close enough.
Couldn't win it. Yeah. They just beat everybody they were supposed to beat. And I think a lot of that had to do with Brady Cook because he kind of willed them to some wins and he fought through injury to do it. You're right. Last year, I thought State really blew their chances early. They had a chance to really step on Missouri in the first half because they were getting stops on the defensive side. And that was if you remember, that was kind of the first time in SEC play that State was really getting off the field, getting pressure. They had some momentum early in that game, and they just didn't take advantage of it. And then by the end of it, you know, they just kind of started slipping away. And you have, Eli Drinkwitz talking crap to the State players on the goal line. I mean, it shouldn't have gotten to that point. State should have been in that ball game in the fourth quarter, and it was kind of the same game that had happened in the other SEC games. They were kind of in it until they weren't in the fourth quarter, and Missouri took the game over. But it's a team at Missouri that I think is going to consistently probably be 6 to 9 wins.
Nice.
I think that's probably going to be what they do under Eli Drinkwitz. Although I feel like they've upped their talent profile a little bit.
Yeah, they're recruiting much better.
They are. They've invested a lot of money in their NIL. Mm-hmm. They have a good situation in Missouri. Although the talent level in Missouri is not extremely high, but he's recruited better there.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, I think their floor has really risen, but I'm just not overly impressed. I'm never really truly overly impressed by him.
The other thing to consider is if they do have another great season, if they win 10 games again, at that point we have to just sort of say, okay, that's what they've raised their ceiling. They are a better year in, year out football program. Because then you're talking about winning, you know, if they win 10 games this year, they've won 32 games in 3 years. I mean, they're kind of where Ole Miss was 2 years ago, right? Ole Miss came out of that season, Judkins' first year, when State beat him in the Egg Bowl. They were 8-5, and you're like, okay, next year we're going to really learn what this Ole Miss team is. Well, they go 11-2, and you're like, all right, nope, they're a good football program. So that's where we are. Speaking of the Rebels, that'll be our next. Go ahead. You got something to say?
I was just going to say, we were breaking down the other day on Sports Talk. Borky and I were breaking down the over-unders.
Win totals,
SEC. And he started going through the schedule. They play their first 6 games at home.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if I've ever seen that.
That's rare.
But they play their first 6 games and at Columbia.
Another thing to consider, they lost 3 games last year, right? It's Texas A&M, Alabama, and South Carolina. They get all 3 of those games at home this year.
Yeah. They'll
certainly get at least one of those games back. So, yeah.
It's a very important first stretch for them. Yeah. I know we'll break down the schedule in the summer, but
that Kansas game is interesting. They're bringing back the Border War.
Yeah,
you know, Kansas last year was a disappointing team, but I still think Lance Leopold's a good coach, so that'll be one to keep an eye on there in week 2.
If they lose, if you look at that schedule and they've lost to Kansas, South Carolina, and Alabama, it could be very troubling.
Yeah,
because you're going to be 3-3 coming out of that, and you got to go to Auburn, Vanderbilt, who's better.
Yeah,
and we think that's a game that Vanderbilt could win.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got Texas A&M at home.
I mean, wasn't that a double overtime game last year between Vanderbilt and Missouri? I believe that's
correct.
Yeah.
Yes. And you got to go on the road to Oklahoma. You got to go to Fayetteville.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they could be looking at 6-7 wins.
Yeah. They need to be 4-2, 5-1 after that first 6. But we'll see what happens. All right. As I mentioned, Ole Miss will be our next spring preview. Michael Katz of the Daily Journal will join the show. To give us a thoughts to our, let me use the quotation marks here, friends up there to the north of us in Oxford. We'll do that on tomorrow's show. Guys, have a great Thursday. I still don't know what day it is. And we'll be back with you on Friday. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.